This is the Creative Sports Podcast.
I would definitely say designers, photographers, videographers, all of that, the whole creative realm definitely inspires me.
Zenobia Woodbush is a social media graphic designer for the Dallas Cowboys. Pre-pandemic, Zenobia wouldn't have anticipated this was her path, but as her journey unfolded and new opportunities presented themselves, this former athlete made the most of them and found her confidence and style along the way.
Are we going to do the clap?
Yes.
Or
yeah, can you go to time.is?
Yes, sir.
Zenobia, you don't have to. Darius and I can just do this one. If you want to, you can. You can participate. If you go to time.is and then at a certain time, we're going to clap so that we can sync and post, even though we don't need to do it. So let's clap at 42. 40?
Okay, 42.
Where are we at right now?
38.
39. Hey everyone, welcome to the show. My name is Garrett Wright. I want to start out with a big thank you to APM Music for donating the tracks we use on this podcast. Also, a reminder that this podcast is an extension of the sports creative community on Slack. So if you're hearing this and not a member of that community yet, you should head over to sportscreativeslack.com and sign up for free.
This is the second episode of our Black History Month celebration for the sports creative community. And we have the talented Zenobia Woodbush, the designer for the Dallas Cowboys. First off, tell us who Zenobia Woodbush is and how did you get where you are today in the industry?
I am the social media graphic designer for the Dallas Cowboys. So it was a long journey. Okay. It was like weird. A lot of weird events kind of happened. Basically started off, I guess, like out of college. I majored in sport and rec management, minored in marketing. I kind of just got into graphic designing. Like I found out about it. I always thought you had to kind of like pair it with something else. And then I learned that you could just do graphic designs for a living. So I was like, oh yeah, let me get into this. I ended up interning pretty much right after I got out of college for an arena football team in Allen, Texas. And that was a lot of fun. I mean, it was like never a dull day in there. It's a small team. So a lot of crazy things happen, but it was like a lot of fun working for them. I didn't have like the software. I didn't work in Photoshop at first. I started in like something called Corel Draw, which is like freaking for dinosaurs, but I started off in that and I didn't even have it on my computer. So I literally had to get on my boss's computer when he wasn't there and just pretty much like teach myself, you know. YouTube saved my life. Pretty much just like taught myself, started to like practice at it and work at it. And then they ended up letting me like basically create everything for them. So they had a lot of trust in me for whatever reason, but they let me do like a lot of like the video board stuff. So anything you can possibly think of, I created for them, like digital, print, all that. So I was out there for about a year interning. And then after that, I ended up getting picked up by a university. So it was like Murray State University up in Kentucky. And I ended up being the graphic designer for the athletic team there. Well, athletic department there. And I designed for all the sports and stuff like that. So that was, it was a lot of fun. And I did everything there, you know, print, digital, video board, all that. And then I was out there for like 1 year. And then after that, I got picked up at Miami University up in Ohio. And I was a graphic designer for the athletic department there. I was out there for 2 years. Again, it was really fun. It was like, I just like enjoyed my job there. I was able to do a little bit of photography, like a little tiny bit, you know, just kind of like, hey, you want to shoot a basketball game? I was like, cool. And then I was able to like run photo shoots and do all that stuff. So I was really able to get into it and just really have fun designing and just doing other things kind of as well, like creative wise. I was chilling out there and of course, the pandemic hit. So that kind of like, I don't know, it just kind of put everything on pause a little bit and it sped up budget cuts basically, right? And so I literally, this is the worst freaking day of my life, the worst slash best, okay? Like, so it sped up budget cuts. And the thing is like me and my whole department, we're like, oh, we're good, we're safe, right? Because budget cuts already happened. They already let go of people that they were supposed to let go of. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. I'm chillaxing, whatever. And then I literally, gosh, I remember this. I had like a project due, right? And I was like, you know, I'm gonna stay up a little later, crank it out. I was like, you know, stayed up, I put an overtime, okay, for this graphic. And I gave myself a pat on the back. I was like, I'm gonna sleep in the next morning, chill out. And all of a sudden I get this call from like the AD, who's like in head of like ahead of the athletic department there. And I'm like, that's weird. Why is he calling me? Like, he never calls me. And basically, I got laid off. Me and my whole entire department got laid off. And I was like, what? And it was on a Friday. And when I tell you, fam, like, of course, the movie Friday came on too. So we know that part where he's like, it's Friday, I ain't got no job, I ain't get shit, you know, getting fired all your day off. I didn't get fired, I got laid off, but like still, it just hit, it hit so different. And I was just like, oh my God, it was like the worst ever. And oh man, it was the worst ever. It was the worst day ever. And I've never ever gotten laid off. So this is crazy. But it was the whole entire apartment. It's like a huge layoff because of the pandemic. So, you know, they had to put a hold on sports, so which was what I did, design for sports. So we all got laid off. I'm over here, you know, driving back from all the way up from Ohio back down to Texas. And it's just like, it was just horrible. And of course, during this time, like people started to become aware of like the whole Black Lives Matter type thing, right? A lot of that stuff was going around. And so we're just like traveling and stuff like that. I'm over here posting like, you know, like you forget it at this point. Like, I'm doing everything. I'm not attached to this university. You know, like it's whatever now. But a lot of that stuff was going on. And the good part of not working, I guess you're able to focus more on yourself. And I was able to grow as a graphic designer. And I never really posted like my artwork on Twitter or any social media. And I was just like, okay, let me start posting it now. So I started posting my work. And then I'm back in Texas right now. So I started posting my work on Twitter. And this one girl, she was like retweeting like Black creatives. She was retweeting like people like with their artwork and stuff like that. And I was like, I never really just do this, but like, whatever, I'm gonna go ahead and drop my little portfolio in there and say my name or whatever. Right. So I did it. And I never do. I'm very chill and like low key. So I never really just do stuff like that, but someone told me to. So I was like, okay, let me go ahead and do that real quick. I do it and it like does this little Twitter thing and it just like goes up. I'm like, okay, all right. You know, cause I'm over here like coasting on like, if I get 3 likes on something on Twitter, I'm like, woo, made it. But then obviously this one really just took off and I was like, oh, all right. And then next thing I know, I get a DM. And it's from this person who, you know, of course, works at the NFL and stuff like that, you know. And he's like, hey, we have this, you know, position basically opened up and everything. And that's going to open up later. And we want you to apply. And I was like, now in my head, mind you, too, like during this whole thing, I'm thinking like, obviously, my end goals as a creative was to ultimately like work for a league or a professional team. Right. One of the two. Either one's fine with me. And I'm thinking like there's a different, like a certain path that I have to take. During this process, I didn't know a lot of creatives and stuff like that, that were, I don't know, I just didn't know a lot. And I thought I had to like start from the bottom and just work my way, go to like a big Power Five university and then go from there, then go to a team and everything, like work my way up and everything. So at this point, when he did that, I was like, it was just so random and it was like so crazy, but he did it because I think he had seen my portfolio when it like, I guess, did this little Twitter thing and everything and people were starting to like it because he said, thank you for sharing your work. So I'm assuming that he saw it that way. So I was like, all right, cool, 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 cool. Now I'm thinking that, nah, he's just doing that, whatever. A month goes by and he contacts me again. He's like, hey, we're about to post it tomorrow. I want you to apply. I was like, oh my God, this is really happening. And so I went through the whole process, you know, getting interviewed and stuff like that. And then I ended up getting the job for working at the NFL. Best day of my life too. I mean, like I was like running around outside, like, I got the job. But like, it was really cool. So after that, I spent the season there. And then after that, I saw, you know, the Dallas Cowboys posted a position and I was like, ooh, I love, you know, Texas, Dallas is like my second home. So I was like, this would be perfect. All of my ex-teammates are out there, like my friends and stuff like that. So it's just like, ooh, I really, 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 really want to work for them and everything. And Dallas is a great city. So it's like, let me go. And I was just, okay. So I had to go. Sorry, I'm from San Antonio. So I just was really trying to leave. You know, I was not trying to be in San Antonio for that long. So, and I was at my parents' house. It's the freaking worst. I mean, it's great. I love them, but like, you know, I got to get out. So I was like, okay, I'm ready to go. Like, I got to get out of here. And so, of course, I applied and stuff like that. And I ended up getting the job with the Dallas Cowboys. And I guess that brings us up to speed, of course, into the season and everything. But yeah, that's pretty much how it happened. So it's very like random. I think getting laid off was probably like the best slash worst thing that can happen to me. But like definitely the best thing, because if I hadn't gotten laid off, I wouldn't have been able to focus more on my creative work and everything and grow as a designer. Working in the athletic department is very, for every sport, is very overwhelming sometimes, because you're, every team basically thinks that you're their personal graphic designer. So there's so much, so much work you have to do. And so it's hard to find, I guess, pockets of free time to work and grow as a designer. You know, sometimes you can get burnt out really quickly. So it's like, when you do have free time, you just want to sleep or just like, just get away from your computer. So I think getting laid off was definitely like probably the best thing to happen to me. I was able to grow. And then me, I guess, advocating for myself and posting my work and everything. And I was able to get picked up with the NFL. And then from there, really just feeling like, okay, like I can do this. Like I'm definitely, I got this. Like if I work in the NFL, I'm really good. You know what I mean? I feel like I experienced the crazy part, which is working in the athletic department, because you have so many teams, and then with the NFL, it's like, okay, this is dope. This is good on a big scale and everything. So anything other than that, I'm like, I got this. And so coming to the Cowboys, I was just like, I'm ready to go. Like, what's up? What y'all got for me? You know? So it was really, 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 really cool. But that's kind of how I ended up, I guess, at the Dallas Cowboys, you know? So, yeah.
You mentioned your teammates. Zenobia, what were you referencing there when you said your teammates were in Dallas?
Oh, okay. So yeah, I used to play basketball for my university. So I played at Texas A&M Corpus Christi, and then I played at Texas A&M Commerce. Go Lions, you know, shout out to the Go Lions. But so I used to play for them. But yeah, so, and there are a lot. So Commerce is 45 minutes above Dallas. So a lot of my teammates were from Dallas. So it was just like, okay, a lot of my ex-teammates are there. And like, that's like, I never felt like, every time I went to Dallas, I never felt like I would be homeless or nothing or anything. I always thought like I had a home to go to, like all my teammates are out there. So it just, it was like easy. I even got stranded in Dallas at the airport. I was trying to go to Miami for my birthday, which is July 5th. So it's like a shit show trying to like go and get flights on like the day before, like, or like the day after the 4th of July, or just during that whole 4th of July weekend. So I definitely got stranded in the airport, and I was like, can you come get me real quick? And she's like, okay, I got you. So I never, Dallas is definitely my second home.
Where did or does your inspiration come from when you're creating, especially as a designer?
I would say pretty much like, definitely like other creatives, and it's not just like graphic designers. It's just like, it could be like photographers talking to them, videographers talking to them and bouncing ideas and stuff like that. But I would say really it's just getting out and just places I see, things I'm doing or at the time, music I'm listening to, just like a lot of inspiration comes from, I would say pretty much the creative world. So just talking to other creatives and then just surrounding yourself with around art or going to like a museum or something like that and looking at different artworks and stuff. So I would definitely say designers, photographers, videographers, all of that, the whole creative realm definitely inspires me.
So being a Black creative, what's your experience? What has your experience been like? And have you had any experience with imposter syndrome, especially now that you work, you know, in a place like for the Cowboys?
Yeah, definitely. I think my first time really just experiencing imposter syndrome was probably when I went to such a big scale like the NFL, right? It was dope. It was fun. I enjoyed myself there and everything was great. But I think like when I got there, I was, because a lot of times the like universities or like an arena football team, they're smaller, right? And so when you get there, it's like, and you can design, you know, decent and everything. Everybody's like, oh, this is great. You know what I mean? And there's not a lot of feedback because the people, they know what they're looking at, but not really. And so when you get to a bigger scale, you actually have like people who know what they're looking at and stuff like that. So I got a lot of feedback. It wasn't like not necessarily bad. It was just like just different opinions and on my work and stuff like that. And it was cool at first, you know, getting there. I was like, oh, bright eyed, bushy tail, like ready to just like, let's go. And then it's like, when you put your stuff out there and it's like, oh, and it's like little critiques, but it's not necessarily, it took me a long time to, not a long time, but I was, it took me a minute to figure out that, you know, I'm really hard on myself. So when I present something and it's not like, oh, people aren't like going like crazy over, or just like there's feedback, a lot of feedback on it, it's just kind of like, ah, you know, I started to like second guess myself. And of course, it's like almost like quicksand. When you second guess yourself, then you start to overthink everything. And then you just start to just keep fixing and tweaking it. And it's just like, oh, what are you doing? You know? And a lot of times that happens. Of course, when that happens, the work diminishes, you know? And that's kind of like what I dealt with a little bit. And then it took me a minute to realize like, hey, like, it's not a bad thing what they're saying. It's just kind of like, one, art, like when you view art, it's very subjective, you know, it just depends on who's looking at it. And everybody has their own design style. And for me to get over it and realize that, you know, you basically, when you work for a big place like that, you have to have a lot of confidence in yourself and a lot of confidence in your work. Because when they hire you, everybody there is very talented. You got picked for a reason. And I had to keep telling myself, like, you made it, like you went through hella design tests. Like they knew what they were getting. You know what I mean? Like you did a lot of stuff and everything. So it's like when you get to that point, everybody's a great creative and a great designer or a great whatever they're doing, you know, they're great at their job. It's just now you gotta fit into their what I guess their design concept that they're going kind of. We did have a lot of freedom there too as well, but it's just like, it's okay that you have a lot of feedback sometimes, you know what I mean? But it doesn't mean that your work is like trash. But for me, I was like, oh my God, I'm getting all this feedback. It must be trash. And then I started, you know, overthinking. But again, it took really have a great support system to tell me like basically to take a step back and look at it and to tell me like, hey, you made it there. Like you're there for a reason. And so when I started just relaxing and stop overthinking stuff so much, it just came very easy. And it was just like, okay, less feedback here, you know, cause I was finally getting the hang of it, you know? So it was kind of like stuff like that, you know, would happen. So I guess that's why that was like my first time really, really experiencing that, was there. And then of course I got in the groove of things and I was like, all right, now I'm back to normal. But I definitely did experience that there. And it was just because I think it was almost too, it's like, I didn't think I was trying to like be perfect, but I think that's what happened. I was trying to be so perfect and it's just like, it's okay. And then literally telling me to my face, it's all right. Like chill out. But I'm like, okay, I got this. And like, I'm trying to be like perfect and not ask for help and not do any of that stuff. But it's like, okay to do all that stuff. And it's all right. And if I had, I think approached that differently, it probably would have been like an easier, I probably wouldn't have gotten that and everything. But yeah, so it just took me a minute to just kind of like adjust basically. But it was overall, it was a great experience, you know? And so, but yeah, it's kind of how that happened. So just, I guess, even just trying to deal with imposter syndrome, just to know like you're at where you're at for a reason and they hired you for a reason. So it's not like they're just like picking people up off the street. Like you had to go through a process to get there. So when you do, it's, you know, just create what you think is fire and then let it go. You know, you think it's good. I think that's what you should present, whatever you think is good. So.
Perfect. That's a great answer. Actually kind of rolled into the next question, but that was great advice for people who go through imposter syndrome, because at some point all creatives definitely, probably all people at some point, especially when they go to a different job, mm-hmm. there's a lot of imposter syndrome, like, oh, was I qualified to be here? Mm-hmm. You know, am I doing good enough? Because sometimes you don't get the feedback like
that you're used to, or like that you're like
searching.
Yeah. And you don't even realize that, I think, until like it stops or whatever. Like I was coming from a lot of places where they were like, oh, it's great. You know what I mean? And then to get like, okay, it's great, but like, let's do something else. Let's go in this direction or let's tweak a little bit here and there. And so that's when you start like, oh, it's hold on, wait a minute. You know, that's when you're like, oh, what's going on here? But yeah, that's all that I had to just tell myself. And then I was able to relax and just do what I do, like create. So yeah.
Sound advice. So what does it mean to you to be a Black creative in the field? Do you feel any pressure? Do you feel any weight? Or does it excite you to be a Black creative in the sports industry?
It definitely excites me. And for me too, like just being an ex-athlete as well, I like to just think of myself. It's not just like being a Black creative and everything. I like to put ex-athlete as well. Because not only am I representing like obviously like a Black female creative in the sports industry, but also like ex-athlete, like former athlete. Because a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people don't, they might realize it, but like we don't have to, like once we're done with college, like I feel like not only I'm giving them a representing and showing them that they can do other things other than coaching or you know, or just doing like on a scouting or whatever, you know. It doesn't have to be on that side. It could be on the other side. I like to call it on the other side or whatever, like doing stuff in the sports and the athletic department or just for teams and stuff like that. Like you don't have to do what people kind of expect you to do and everything, like run camps or coach or just be a trainer or anything. Like we don't have to do that. We can do other things. And no, there's no knock against any of that stuff. Like if you want to do, that's your dream, that's cool. But like some people don't chase their dreams outside of those things. A lot of times athletes like to fall into, not all athletes, I can't speak for everybody, but I know it's very easy for me. It would have been very easy for me to just fall into coaching or doing something else, you know, just because I have a sport background versus doing on the creative side. A lot of people didn't even know I was very creative. So I would say it's important. And I do get excited, you know, it does excite me that knowing that I'm a Black female creative and who also played sports too. So it's just kind of like showing different, tapping into different audiences, you know. I feel like a lot of people can relate to that, especially former athletes who are creatives. You know, I went back to my old university and I spoke to like the women's basketball team there, you know, spoke to the Commerce women's basketball team and they're great and everything. And then I saw out of one of them, it's not every time, but like, there was a girl who wanted to do graphics and everything. She wanted to get into like the creative side and stuff like that. So it's just like, there's athletes out there who don't want to do just, you know, coaching or training and stuff like that. They want to get into other things. So I feel like not only am I showing or representing, you know, for female, you know, Black creatives, but also like touching on another target audience as well. So it definitely excites me that because I know where they're coming from. I know what they're going through and I'm able to show them that you don't have to just do that stuff. Like there's other things that you can do. So, and help, definitely help if I can. Cause I hate when people be like, oh, I'm going to help you out. Right. Oh, I'm going to help you out. You reach out, I'm going to help you out. And that you don't hear back from them like months. And I'm like, ha, what happened? You know, what's going on? So I'm definitely a person, if I say I'm going to help you, I'm going to do everything in my power to help you. You know, I definitely try to definitely do that for people. And even just being able to represent, I guess, for my race and stuff like that, right? Like, for right now, I know I'm probably like going off on a rant, but I'm very much excited about this one project that we're doing. It's not even mine, but it's for Black History Month, right? And I'm so happy I'm here to do this because it's like, okay, for the Dallas Cowboys, like, let's go. So we're doing this Black History Month thing. And one of my coworkers was like, oh, we want to do something for like, you know, spoken word or something like that. I was like, I got you. I already know this person. I know. I was like, everybody pipe down. I already got it. Y'all ain't got no chance. I got this. Okay. And so I was able to like literally just be like, yo, I got the perfect guy for you. Cause he's an ex-athlete too. He used to play football. And, you know, I was like, okay, let me bring him in. And like, I like being able to help out or open other doors for people, like opportunities and stuff like that, because we all need a little bit of help somewhere. You know, I know for me, like, you know, me, I had to like reach out, hustle and do a lot of stuff and everything to get to where I'm at today, you know, and there wasn't like a path drawn up for me. I just had to like figure it out on my own. And I know for a lot of people, that's normally what they do, especially people who are not athletes. But for athletes, a lot of times we have such a regiment, like we do X, Y, Z, that's going to happen. And so it's hard when we're just like when we're done with college and we're just kind of like thrown into the world. It's like, hey, you know, figure it out. And whereas other people who get out of high school, they have to figure it out younger because that's just, you know, I mean, it's just different transitions for different people. And I feel like my position allows me to help other people. So other people don't have to go through what I went through. you know, like other people don't have to try to figure it out, like, oh, whatever. Like, I can help them. Like, hey, this is the path I took, you know, to get here. And I'm not saying it's necessarily work for everybody, but like, it can work. And if I have the power to help and think of other people to that come to mind and everything, I will, that are people of color or just, you know, Black creatives. So that's, it definitely does excite me, like, for sure.
What's your favorite type of content to produce?
For me, I definitely like award graphics and stuff where they allow me to be a little bit more creative. And then I like what we're doing now for the Cowboys. Well, last, I guess the season that just ended was like, they're like 24-hour like countdowns, right? And on my 24-hour countdowns, they kind of want them to be like, kind of like the way they describe it, movie poster-esque or whatever the hell they describe it. But basically, you can just have fun with it, like be very creative. And I love those pieces. So it's just kind of like the more fun creative pieces to where they don't really have to mean so much, but just having fun with it. So it doesn't have to be, and I can go out actually outside of the branding guide a little bit, you know, just like pushing the boundaries a little bit. So I definitely like doing pieces like that.
I'm looking at, there's one of Ezekiel Elliott on here, actually two of them, where it's definitely outside of what you would normally see. And from your time at the NFL, when you were talking about getting a lot of feedback and, you know, trying to understand their brand and how they approach things, how, now that you're at the Cowboys, do you approach sticking with the brand in certain, in most situations, and when you can step outside of that to create something that will be impactful, especially on social media?
And I think, I hope I'm answering this correctly. Well, for one, with the NFL and stuff like that, oddly, like funny enough, they actually helped prepare me for working for the Cowboys. A lot of the stuff that we did, because we weren't tied down to a specific team, they were just like very, it was very much just kind of like, it was structured, but not structured. It was like, do just be very creative, you know? A lot of my graphics that I had to do for like game day or the matchups and everything, they were just like very creative. Like, you want something different every single time. So it definitely helped push my creativity in that direction. So it definitely did help for like the, are you looking at the Halloween one?
That's one of them, yeah. And then the other one's a, it's like a city with a with his like, oh, a band.
Crown. Yeah, oh, the crown. Man. Yeah, I need to update my. I should have did that. I should have definitely updated my portfolio. Oh my god, like some of these things, it's a mess in there. Okay, so listen, all right. Some of that stuff was like when I first started off. So yeah, I need to update it. But the Halloween one is definitely recently, not recent, but it was from this season or last season. But yeah, just doing stuff like that, you're going to be very, very creative. So I love doing things like that. So themed, designs, but can you, so your question, so were you saying like, how did it help prepare me or how is it the speed of things or.
Yeah. As a brand, I guess when you're working specifically with the Cowboys, you mm-hmm. have specific rules and brand guidelines that you stick within. Mm-hmm. When do you decide to break those, or how do you decide to break those rules?
All right. So listen, Hey, if my boss is going to hear this, I don't break any rules. I don't go outside the brand, I swear. But I'm just playing. But no, really, honestly, I stick within the brand where I'm supposed to. But when they say you have a little bit of creative freedom, I push what I can. So, and I justify it because all of them will tend to be those, I guess, so everything will be in the brand, right? Unless you have the 24-hour graphics, those are all going to be creative pieces. So that's where I really get to just push and everything. But it's like, it's not too crazy because it's like, they're all going to be that way. You know what I mean? They're all going to be, all the 24-hour graphics will all be creatives and creative pieces versus everything else will be strictly within the brand. So whenever they say, have fun, but take it and run with it, don't ask questions. So I guess where I can, I definitely push it to the limit and everything. I just create something really fire. And then just, they kind of, honestly, they give me a lot of freedom here. So I'll just like, and as long as I have a reason, like they say, hey Z, why'd you go this route? Boom, here's my reason. They're like, okay, I just want to know why. And then that's it, you know? So definitely stick within the brand where you're supposed to. But when you have like creative projects and stuff like that, and you can push, go crazy. And then if they say dial it down, okay, cool. You know what I mean? Dial it down a little bit. But like, I would definitely say like on the creative pieces, I know to just have fun with versus the pieces that are definitely part of our brand. Like everything's part of the brand, but like pieces that are supposed to be staples, you know? So I would say definitely, I guess push where you can. And when you can't, definitely stick within the branding guide because we need things to look cohesive and not like, what the hell is going on here? So.
Does that kind of help you balance it out mentally? Yeah. Because yes. Like for a lot of brands, you know, whether it's big or small, everyone likes, oh, we can't do this to this logo or we can't do this. Was the ability to be able to have the balance of, okay, well, these four or five things, like we'll stay within these guidelines and, you know, here's a couple extra things. Does that help you like mentally when it's?
Yes, definitely. I mean, obviously I do like sticking within the brand guide, especially when it gets to like a crazy point where you have to be cranking out like a lot of graphics very, very fast. So it's good to have templates and know that, hey, you can only go so far. So, you know, like this is what you're going to get, especially when we have like a short amount of time to make them in. So it's like, that's where it's good. But yeah, definitely. Cause it can also get a little bit of like, oh my God, I'm tired of seeing this. Cause we did dark mode this season. And it's hard. It can get like a little bit of like tedious and just very much everything starts to look the same. And I'm just like, damn, this should look familiar. Like, I know I did this before. Like, did I do this before? Cause you're just staring at it. So it definitely can get very like boring, very quickly. So the whole creative part does definitely, it's like a refresh, you know, and I definitely appreciate that I can do that once a week, you know? So it's really, it helps me out a lot. So I definitely like that part because no one really wants to just keep doing the same thing for the whole season. It's a long season, you know, it helps out, but it does. I do appreciate the creative freedom I do have once a week. And even like, honestly, if I didn't have that, I probably would just try like making stuff for myself, just creative pieces on my own that I don't post or whatever, just to have fun with it. And I think that would help. Definitely. If I didn't have these 24-hour pieces that I get to do. So either way, something's going to get made to help me.
So. I feel like I keep hearing some elements of coaching athletics. Like when you were talking earlier about the imposter syndrome, it's like you hear coaches always say, stop thinking and just play. Like you want to, if you're happy and you're playing free, you're going to perform better. And just hearing you talk now, it's like there is some tedium in what you're doing and you just kind of got to stick it out and maybe look forward to some of those pieces that you get to do where you have a little bit more creative freedom. Is that how you approach it? Or do you look at it a different way now that you're like putting your athlete shoes back on and like how you approach your work?
You know, of course, obviously when the season starts, we're all excited and stuff like that. And, you know, you're happy through the whole thing, but it's just like at the end, it starts to get very like tedious sometimes when you have like games and stuff like that. And it's just like, oh my God. And all these awards. And it's just like, I'm happy for the players doing it. Like you're doing so great, but like, I got to make another one, huh? But it's just like, I definitely approach it like that. So we're the ones that are just very much within the branding guide and everything. And I definitely crank those out, especially when there's so many to build, and then go really good, like hard on like the creative graphics. So I definitely do approach it that way. I guess like the more tedious ones, just kind of like, not necessarily. I honestly say, I say, honestly, I just go, all right, get it out the way in the end of the season, you know? And I think we can all tell for us from a designer standpoint, what happens at the end of the season, you're just like, this graphics start not to, cause you get in a creative rut sometimes, you know, cause you're just kind of like not burnt out, but it's just like, all right, we're tired sometimes, and that's really when the branding really does help too. Cause it's like, well, you can only work within you. This is your parameter. So I don't know what to tell you, like, this is what you're going to get. But yeah, definitely. If I ever get to a point where I'm in a creative rut or I'm doing something that I don't really like, especially for like creating for sponsors, oh my God, it's just a lot. That's a whole nother story. But like, you just kind of knock those out the way, get those out the way, and then you can have a lot of fun with the creative graphics, of course. But of course, everything you put out, you want to do your best and everything, but like, it could get kind of like tedious at sometimes. So you just kind of like, just got to get through it.
Let's talk about your current employer a little bit. One of the biggest brands in sports. How's that? You've kind of talked about some of the experience of creating there, but like, talk about the pressures of working for the Dallas Cowboys, like the star. Yeah. Did you grow up a Cowboys fan, being from Texas? And like, what's the kind of pressure of, you know, coming through every time for the Cowboys?
You know, it's weird. I actually don't, you know, it's funny. Okay, so again, like I said, working for the NFL definitely prepared me for this. My mind won't let me go back to that place where I'm constantly questioning myself. I don't know what happened. I don't know if I was just like that bad, but like, it won't let me, I won't get that stressed out about it. I really won't. I actually don't even feel, it's weird. I don't feel pressure when I'm here at the Cowboys. I feel like when I got this job, I felt like a fish in water. Like, damn, I sound old. Oh my God, I sound like my mom and dad. But I was just felt like a fish in water, to be honest with you. It was very like easy. Like, I don't know. I just came in and just did my thing. Definitely don't feel any pressure at all. But I also think that's just because I was working for like the league. So it's just kind of like, you know, if I could do it there, you know, I could definitely do it for the Dallas Cowboys. But in a lot of the stuff, the league was very fast paced at times. So it was just easier going from designing for all those teams to just one team. So I was like, I got this. I already have my head. I got this. But as far as going up a Cowboys fan, no. I was like in denial about trying to really just get into football when I was younger. Like, my brothers both played football and stuff like that. And I was like, I don't got to learn it. Ah, ha, ha. But then it just kind of like followed me through my whole life. And I was like, yeah, okay, I need to learn it. So I wasn't a Cowboys fan growing up. But yeah, I had to pick a team. Cowboys.
Being from San Antonio, I would think that it's probably, you're probably more basketball, especially since you were a basketball player.
Yeah, I grew up, basketball is like more my thing, but yeah, no, I do claim the Cowboys when people ask. So, you know, there's that.
And you have to now, right?
Oh, fact. Look, I'm gonna stick beside them. All my teammates or whatever, they're like, oh, really? I'm like, yeah, and what's up? What you got to say? Okay. Yeah. You know, so I'm right beside them. So here we are, you know.
I feel like, you know, Justin kind of, I thought this is where Justin was going to go with his last question, but I'm going to kind of go there with this one. It seems like through your experience, like, you kind of carry a coach's role, like, because you're giving really good advice almost to your younger self and to other people who are, you know, athletes and, you know, who are in the same shoes that you once were. So what would be your advice for creators, young Black creators, people who are considering getting into the industry? What would be some sound advice that you would give to them?
Some sound advice. One, there was this one thing, I don't know where I saw this quote, somewhere on social media, I'm sure, or whatever, maybe a creative tweeted out or something, but it was like, keep creating, even if, like, create something every day, right? Even if it's ugly. So just keep doing that, you know? And then don't get discouraged when people are giving you feedback. Try to like comb through it and see what they're really saying. Also though, like, if you think the work is fire, just keep doing that. You know what I mean? Don't let people who can't see your vision or whatever, like, you know, cloud your judgment and don't compare yourself to other designers at all. Like, don't, just be you, just create how you want to create and everything. Cause people like, you know, they want to see what you have to design. They want to see what you're feeling and stuff like that. And then also to like, for people who, if they do have like imposter syndrome, going to like a big workspace, like, know you're there for a reason, you know, you got hired for a reason. So at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how you got there, but if you're there, like, you're there for a reason. So just have like confidence in yourself and just keep doing it. So yeah, don't definitely don't get discouraged. Don't let people persuade you into thinking that your work's not good when art is very subjective. So it doesn't really matter.
When you started in sports, did you see a lot of people that looked like you when you walked in rooms, whether that was Black creatives, women? Did you see a lot of that? And how much has that changed? Has it gotten better? Has it increased? Has it decreased? Has it, you know?
I didn't see not a drop. I didn't see not a speck. I was looking everywhere. I was like, what? And oddly enough, like when I first started off, I definitely didn't see that when I first started off. I didn't even know people existed. Okay. It wasn't until like I really got into the creative realm and stuff like that. And I started going on Twitter and following certain people is where I started to see, oh, there's a lot of us, you know, out here that, you know, we're just scattered. Okay. But it was to the point where I really just didn't see a lot of in one place, like Black creatives in one place. I didn't see it for where I was at, where the places that I was going to. Like, let's say, I think the first time I started to kind of see it, weirdly enough, right, is when, well, actually, when I got at Murray State, but it wasn't, he wasn't even a creative, he's just in the marketing department. We both like worked together. I was like, okay, there's one. And then I went to Miami University, and this is how bad it was. I was like, oh my God, like I saw it because we both got hired, right? And I didn't know, her name was Ashley. So at this point I was like, oh, could go both ways. I don't know who she is. And I saw her get out of her car and I was like, huh. You know, she was obviously like a woman, you know, Black creative. And I was like, okay. I hope we work together, whatever. And I found out she, that was like, oh shoot. Like I looked at her, I was like, oh, they hired both of us? Like what? You know, sometimes it's just like, okay, one person's going to get hired. All right, cool. But there was like two and I was like, oh my God, like that's how it was. And so until I really got into like, I guess the creative world and started to see like, okay, there's a lot of spaces for us and everything. There's a lot of people out there. There's a lot more. So for me, I'm starting to discover like, not starting to, I discovered like, there's a lot more people of color or Black creatives out there for sure. But when I was definitely getting started, I didn't see none really. And it wasn't even until like I was surprised where I had, we're in the same department and we worked together. So I thought that was very like, oh my God, hello friend. You know, she didn't know me, but we was gonna be friends regardless. I was like, hey girl, just listen. But yes, I didn't see a lot of them getting started. But then now that I'm like, I guess expanding my horizon and stuff like that, and I'm starting to see a lot more. So it's very much, I would say it's growing. I definitely would.
What would you say is your why? Like, what would you, that's one question that I love to ask, you know, creatives, like, what's your reasoning behind what you do? You know, we talked about inspiration, but inspiration doesn't always line up with your why. What's your purpose?
I literally love creating something out of nothing. And I've always been that way. Always been that way in some form, like some way or another. Like I've always loved, I love doing that, you know. I like being able to create things. I do like, and now honestly is being able to, I like, it's really just like a passion of mine. Okay, so I love creating something out of nothing, and then all the little cherry on tops, right, are things like, okay, well, I get to open doors for other people, you know. I get to I think my first time was too, like, it's just like not opening a door for person, but like it was like basically making something, right? And it went on the video board or whatever. And I remember like one of the athletes coming out and he was like, oh my God, I'm up there. And I'm like, ah, do you like it? You know, and like just seeing their faces like, yeah, this is dope. It's like, yeah, okay. So it's just like being able to help bring somebody else's vision to life or my vision to life and everything. But it's just definitely being able to create things. And then now that I'm where I'm at now, being able to help others, you know, have an easier time to get to where they need to go. But my why is definitely being able to create things. I sit sometimes, like, obviously sometimes it could be like a little tedious and stuff what I do, but it's just like, what in the world else would I rather be doing? It's just this, I like on my worst day, it still is good. If that makes sense. Like on my worst day, it's still like, I'd rather do this than anything else, you know? Yeah. What? I literally could not imagine like, nah, this is, No. And like on worst day, it just still doesn't really suck. You know, if I think about it, I'm like, Z, what are you really complaining for? Like, you're just bullshitting right now. Like, you're complaining to complain, but like, it's really not even that. So definitely just love creating things. It's very fun. So yeah, it's my why.
If you had to choose, what would you say was probably your favorite project that you've ever worked on? Like, what's something that sticks out in your memory?
I have two. I'll go real quick. But the first one was my favorite one. Okay. I'm going to say the selfish one first. Sorry. But it was being able to make the logo for Black History Month. That was one of my favorite ones to work on, just because they were able to show, I was able to knock two birds out with one stone, you know, make a cool graphic, cool logo for Black History Month, but then also like being able to them showing that, hey, a black female creative is behind this, you know, and being able to have some representation on that. And I haven't seen them post something like that before either too, you know what I mean? And so like they posted on their social media. So I was like, yes, it didn't even have to be me, but just so people can see like a black female creative was behind designing that. It's just like, okay, you know, so it didn't even have to be me. It could have been another black female creative, whatever, who cares? But just so that was put out there as a representation, and it's from the Dallas Cowboys too, you know what I mean? So I think that was probably my favorite project, just because of what it meant, I guess, behind it. So it's not even just like, oh, the graphic itself, it's what it meant. But the other one, other than that, was it was cool. I got to do a collaboration with one of the videographers. His name's Thomas. And we came together on when we clinched our division, right? And I like doing crown pieces, so it was really cool. So we both just came up with this idea. And so I guess it was like the crown piece, like he did his thing. I just did the design and he brought it to life. And I was like, holy crap, like this is dope. So that was one of my, one of the more fun and probably like one of my favorite projects. Cause then they also played on the video board. I was like, oh. Now they played it really fast. I caught like the intel of it, but still like, I was like, oh my God, y'all play this at the game. But yeah, so that was probably like one of my second favorite project that I got to work on. And it was a collaboration with Thomas. So it was really cool working with him and being able to bring that to life.
This has been a really exciting episode, getting to know a lot about you, your background, how you got into it. And the one thing that sticks out to me is like your excitement about it. Like some people you can, you know, their passion jumps up, like your excitement about.
She's the hype one. Absolutely. The hype puddle, right?
Absolutely. So with that being said, like what would be your parting words for, you know, young black girls that may be looking for a new career? I mean, looking for something to do, young ladies, you know, in college who are, you know, trying to think of a career path. What would be your parting words and advice for little girls that look like you?
It's gonna sound very like basic, but it's so true. Like one, don't be scared to dream big. Like I told all my people, like, oh, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this, whatever. And they're like, okay, you know what I mean? But like, you have to be consistent and hungry when you chase your dream. And all you have to do, once you do that, like you can get there, you know what I mean? And if it's not laid out in front of you, freaking build that path yourself, like do it yourself, like break down build your own lane, like do it. Like I didn't see nothing. I had to create my own freaking lane. I didn't have the opportunity to really see when I first started off what other creators were doing. Like I had to just make it up as I go, you know what I mean? And I don't be afraid to DM people or sliding, whatever, who cares? Like whatever, they can say no. I DM'd a whole bunch of people. No one got back to me. There's few that did, you know? And I was like, okay, thank God, like whatever. But like, you just need that one person sometimes, you know? So just keep dreaming big and don't be scared to chase. It doesn't matter what other people say. As long as you have that idea in your head, what you want to do, like please keep going for it, because it's, like it'll definitely happen. Like it'll definitely happen. So that's, I guess, my advice. Just dream really big. It doesn't matter if it's like sounds stupid or whatever. Like I literally told my I told my coach, one of my coaches, and I was like, all right, in 5 years, I'm be in like the NBA or whatever, just like professional, right? Not NBA, sorry, WNBA or whatever, just professional, right? And he was like, all right, like I'm pretty sure he was like, crazy. Yeah, you know, but like I made it professionally. It wasn't at the WNBA, but it was like professional, you know what I mean? So it might be adjacent to it or whatever, just like I'm in the professional realm, you know what I mean? So it's just like just dream big and just keep going, very much be like consistent with what you want and don't listen to other people if they say, oh, you can't do it. It's, well, you can't, but like I can, like, you know what I mean? Like just keep doing it, like, and you never know. So that's my advice to creatives: dream big and chase it.
Perfectly said. Well, this has been a great episode. Like I said, your energy and your excitement has energized and excited me to want to create. Maybe I should go do some editing now. But thank you for spending some time with us on the Sports Creative Communities podcast. We'll continue to shed light on Black creatives for the rest of the month. And thank you, Zenobia Winbush, for sharing your story.
And beyond. Month and beyond.
And beyond. Mm. And beyond. That is it. Happy Black History Month.
Yes, Happy Black History Month. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for making Creative Sports Podcast part of your day. We'd love to hear your thoughts, feedback, and suggestions, so pop on over to the Sports Creative Community on Slack and connect with us and your fellow creatives. If you're enjoying this podcast, we'd love it if you shared it with a friend or a coworker and leave us a 5-star rating so other people will be able to find us as well. And don't forget to subscribe so that you're the first person to catch each new episode. Remember, the world needs your voice, so keep creating.